it was like dinner and 5 seconds in the bedroom, and I was like, whoa, maybe I'm just delusional, but I have never looked up the laws in the state that I'm in.
She got saved by a man from the evil, evil and dirty prostitution.
Lisa, it's romance. Let there be some romance in the world. I mean, of course, it's stupid, but it's not.
You know, we live in fucking New York City. It's expensive as shit. Like, why would I not be getting paid for this?
Geliebte auf Zeit mit Luisa und Lenia.
Hi there. This episode will be taken in English because we have an American guest. After some words in German, it will be English again. So you just have to wait for some seconds that we will talk German. And then we will talk English again.
Oh, ich glaube, wenn ich nicht schon verliebt in dich wäre, wäre ich jetzt verliebt in dich, Luisa.
Das ist, oh my God,
so süß. Ja, es wird für uns alle oder für uns beide ein bisschen peinlich wahrscheinlich, aber nochmal für die, die kein Englisch reden. Diese Episode wird auf Englisch sein, weil wir eine New Yorker Gästin haben, auf die wir schon mega gespannt sind. Und genau, deswegen heute Englisch reden. Das heißt, falls du kein Englisch kannst, dann sorry, dann ab nächste Woche wird wieder alles ganz normal. Und jetzt weiter auf Englisch, oder?
Ja, ich werde jetzt die Ansage machen und du musst die Simultanübersetzung davon machen. Hallo, ihr hedonistischen und abenteuerlustigen Menschen.
Hello, you hedonistic and hedonist or hedonistic? Does this word even exist in English? Fiona, we need your help already.
Hedonistic? Is that the word that you're trying to say?
I think so.
And hedonistic.
Hedonistic and...
adventurous.
Adventurous people, ooh, out there. Yes. That's how
that
we start every
exactly like
episode.
Who I am.
Schön, dass ihr da seid.
How nice that you're here.
I'm so happy to be here, for real. This is like the fusion of all my interests in life, and I'm like so grateful to be here. So thank you guys so much.
Yeah, I'm so happy to see you here. So you are Fiona. You are an escort, yes, living and working in New York. That's the dream. Like, she's an artist too. Like, she's living the dream. She's an artist in New York.
Yeah.
And an escort.
Yeah.
Should we now bombard you with all our questions?
Please do. Please do.
I wonder, like, when did you start being an escort and how come that you are an escort now?
Yeah, I guess it was kind of, it's so funny. It's like, I don't even know how to go back and think about where that started, because obviously, like, when you make the conscious decision to do it, there's like a million other things that you probably did in your life that got you to that decision. And I guess for me, it's like I was always curious and kind of playing in my fantasy mind, and like even growing up, just being in my parents' bedroom in the Midwest and, you know, like pretending to like live in a city and like dress up and do all these things. And so when I started getting into art, I was always super, super drawn to images of like pinup girls and fashion editorials and things that were just like so sexy. I don't know if you guys know like Dita Von Teese and that type of like,
yes. Isn't she German or like, is this wrong information?
Oh God, I don't even want to speak for her on that. I have no idea.
Lenia, do you know Dita Von Teese? You know, she's, isn't she German?
Who the fuck is that? Some kind of artist person that I have to know?
She's like a burlesque. She's like a burlesque queen, and she has all these like businesses now. But she is super. Where is she from? Born in? Oh no, she's from Michigan. She's from the U.S.
Totally not German.
But she was in a German TV show. That's why I thought she was German.
Oh, that makes sense.
I think she was in Germany's Next Top Model or something.
Ooh. Anyways, I was just like so attracted to that type of culture, like the fetish, the latex, the leather, just that this, it just seems so like classy to me. And I feel like when I decided I was going to move to New York from the Midwest, that was its own whole journey of like meeting people at artist residencies and having opportunities to get there. But I remember getting on Seeking Arrangement. Do you guys know what that is?
Yeah, it's kind of like a sugar daddy platform.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, it's like the sugar daddy platform. And it's so funny. I mean, I guess it's just in my mind, I was kind of like, you know, oh, I need help to get to this place. Like I was always growing up, like I have to figure out how this is going to look. And I just saw that as an opportunity to kind of make extra money, have fun adventures and meet new people. And so even while I was back in the Midwest, I had a profile on this sugar daddy website. And I think I was like, I literally found some guy that had a sugar baby in New York. And he found out I was an artist and he was like, oh, I want to buy a painting for my sugar baby. Like, you should come here. So I told everyone, I was like, I'm going to go to New York and like look for apartments. But really, I was like going to meet with this guy and his sugar baby. And it ended up being, I still honestly have the check to this day. It was like the first time I ever made, I think it was like $1,000. And he just wrote the check out to cash. And he was like, you know, just, I literally, it was like dinner and 5 seconds in the bedroom. And I was like, whoa. Okay.
And are so texts, I like moved still like a thing in America. Like, do you actually write texts like in the movies?
I mean, I feel like maybe like someone's grandma probably still writes a check. You know what I mean? But it's definitely outdated. But it was just like one of those things that I'm like, that's so
but
hot.
But he gave you a
like,
check. Mm-hmm. I never got a check and I never did anything with a check.
Really?
Like never in my whole life. I never saw a check.
Me neither.
Only in movies.
My God. Damn. Okay. I feel like growing up, my mom used to write checks. So I feel like it was definitely like not a thing when I got it. So this was probably like 2017 is when I moved to New York. But yeah, I still have that check. I used it when I got my first studio in New York. I like pinned it up onto my wall and I was like, we've come so long from here, you know? But it was, you know,
I have like goosebumps all over my back.
It's kind of funny. It's like just having this thing. It was like made out to cash. And it was the first time that I was like, oh shit. Cause you know, I was a server. Like I was a bartender server and I worked in the service industry for pretty much every job. I mean, besides like high school, like once I start to be like, oh, I have to take care of my shit and I have bills and like, what's my life going to look like? I was always in art school and I was always in the service industry. And I do think that gave me a lot of the tools and emotional intelligence that I now use while I'm escorting. So that's kind of a funny parallel. But yeah, it started with the sugaring and kind of dating these guys. I remember like the first time someone gave me a gift, they got me some like fry boots. And I was just like, wow, like people can
what
really
fry
like,
boots?
Take care. They're just like these leather boots. I don't know. I was like so obsessed when I got them. So it's always like this quintessential thing in my mind. I'm like, if we can get fry boots, we can get rent paid for. We can get this paid for. I'm like, let's go. So it just set me on a journey. And I feel like for maybe, I guess the persona that I am now, I've been doing that almost 2 years. And that was when I really got into like actually escorting and advertising on Tryst, which I don't know. Did you guys say that you had? Yeah. So that was like, I remember doing, so I was sugaring pretty much this whole time. And I remember I had a mutual friend here in New York and she is super successful in the escorting business. And my roommate at the time is friends with her. And she was like, oh my God, you need to talk to her. Like, I feel like you guys have a lot to talk about. And I was like, oh shit. Okay. And so when I did speak with her, she was like, we're not going on sugaring dates. Here's what you need to do. You need to get a website. You need to get photos. Mm-hmm. You need to get advertised. Like she was like, we're not making like $300 to go to 5 hours of dinner, like just for someone to be like, I don't know what we're doing. It's like, and that's when I started being like, okay, I don't need to like have a phone call to see if we vibe, if you want to get a drink. It's like, ugh, I just love the escorting now because it's so clear and what you're getting and what you're doing. It's like the consensual energy. It's 10 million times safer than going on some random sugar date and like ending up at some dude's apartment. Or like, even I always compare it to being on like Tinder or dating websites. I'm like, people be judging the fuck out of like escorting, but it's really like the most safe version. And you know, here's X amount of hours, here's what you're getting, we have an amazing time. And then, like, it's just crazy to me. So that's kind of how I stumbled into it, I guess. It was just like a natural progression. So, yeah.
Awesome. I totally agree on the sugar dating side.
Oh, yeah. My God. I feel like, you know what's funny, though? Like, I guess 2017 was kind of when I started getting onto that. And then just, it's mainly for my own personal research and development, but there have been times where I'm like, oh, I'm going to get back on here and see what the vibes are. I have some friends still in the Midwest that are slaying it, like more successful on sugaring than I ever was. But it's just like so much fucking work to parse through to find something that's kind of like a diamond in a rough, where it's like you can just get that from the start with escorting. So I don't know. I just feel like Seeking has become more of a dating website, and people are more, to me, it feels like, okay, it made sense when I was 22 years old or whatever, and I didn't have the confidence. And I was like, oh yeah, I'll go to dinner with you and never be paid for this. And then maybe we can get like figure it out later. It's like, you can definitely tell almost like grooming, like young girl energy type shit. And I even see it on like Hinge and Tinder. Like, I've been on dates recently with guys and I'm like, you are so wealthy and you're messing with the wrong girl who knows too much. And you should literally be like looking for a sugar baby. Like, and you're just like, it's so crazy to me, these lines of like how we call it different things and like what the actual reality is like sex, provider energy, like, I just, mm-hmm. That's why I respect escorting so much, because it's like we just call it like it is. And we like, it just makes it all so much better to me.
But I guess so. It's like easier if it's forbidden to say, like this wasn't transactional sex. I just like gave her this very expensive present or whatever, right. But it wasn't for the sex. It was just like,
exactly.
Because I like her or whatever. So
and
I guess
that's
it would
like
be harder.
The ego thing.
Yeah,
it's like some. It's like mainly that fragile male ego of being like, well, and I even to this day have clients that they're like, well, I just can't get it around my head that with like, I just wish, you know, like, why do I have to pay for like, and I'm just like, that's not my problem. Like, this is not, you know, like I wouldn't be hanging out with you if you weren't my client. Like, don't get it twisted. Obviously, I'm not saying that to their face, but it's like. There is that part of the ego where it's like, oh, if I'm on a dating site and I'm like, I just am like, as a female that feels very embodied and empowered, I'm like, for centuries, we've been considered property and, it, you know, you're being like sold to a husband. Like, we couldn't even have bank accounts in the US on our own since like, I forget the date, maybe like the 8th. Like, it's so recent that we're starting to be like, oh my God, like, all this labor that I've never been
paid
praised
for,
paid for. It's like, and now I'm doing it and you're going to hold me back from that. Like, of course you are. Like, it doesn't work for you. So it's fascinating. The male ego really, you know,
I think also we have kind of differences between Germany and the US. So you have more sugar dating, I think, ongoing in the US because it's illegal. And actually, like, escorting is illegal in the US, right?
Yeah. Oh my God. So, okay, on that note, it's so funny that I, and this is just because maybe I'm just delusional, but I have never looked up the laws in the state that I'm in.
And now you're afraid that I asked you to do it?
No, I mean, I think it's important to know. And it's also just an awareness. I feel, again, like I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm not, you know, I'm like culturally normative and white and I'm doing it on a level that's like considered high end. And it's... sort of like, okay, everybody knows that's happening. Like, I feel
so
like,
you're very privileged
for sure. And that's why it's like, that is where I'm saying, okay, maybe I'm delusional because I've been doing this long enough. And like the fact that I know that it's illegal, but I'm like, it's fine. Like, I'm fine, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was crazy to look up those laws today. And it's, I think, I forget what it did say. It's like a class B misdemeanor punishable by up to 90 days in jail.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
Offering sex work also, right? Like, because in some European countries, they started this thing where it's like, it's not illegal for the offering person, but for the customer.
For the client. Yes. Yeah.
The John.
And you call it John, right? And in Germany, you call it Freier.
But this is not a nice word.
Yeah, not really.
Oh, God.
And like, I mean, we are like super against this law, but I think it's like even crazier to also like make it illegal for the person offering sex work. Like, what the fuck? Right. You're trying to save someone by putting them into jail? Like,
I think they don't want to save you. I was reading an article about, the headline was something about moms that are in worries about their child are demonstrating in Queens against prostitution.
Yeah.
Something, you know, that was an article. Yeah.
I think it was
you took
TikTok.
Part on that demonstration. No.
Yeah, no, I didn't. And that's okay. So I think I saw recently on TikTok, there's like an account that follows a lot of the red light district in Queens. And there's like a specific strip where now like the mayor's like, it's a problem and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, it's so fascinating to me to just be like, we all know that this is happening, and it just creates such dangerous environments and a lot of these people, like, this is why I'm saying I'm so privileged, because it's like, I know that probably a majority of those people, especially in Queens, is very Hispanic, and, you know, people that probably don't have licenses to work in the US, so they're doing things, you know, it's just like, it becomes such a cycle of problem, and it's dangerous. And like, when it's illegal, obviously if something bad happens in those shitty situations, like, these people are not going to ever be able to go to the police and be like, some awful thing happened to me, you know what I mean? Like, it's just such a scary thing.
Super
when you think
scary.
About it.
Yeah, I read that so it's illegal to offer sex work except for if you're like, how do you say, if you're like human trafficked into it, like if you're but then like some weeks ago we talked to someone who helps like human trafficked girls and women, and she said it's super hard to prove that you've been forced to do sex work. So it's like, I would never go to the police and say like, hey, I'm forced to do sex work, because what happens if I can't prove that I've actually been forced to do it? Then I will go to jail. Like, what the fuck? It's so messed up. Yeah.
And it's just like, that's when, you know, and then you get into the whole conversation about like, when you talk about rape and the ways in which victims aren't believed as more, like the people that it happens to are not believed as much, especially women, when it is usually the predominant, like, yes, being forced upon. And it's just, it's all such a fucking gross cycle. And I think about even that conversation of like, if you are trying to prove that you're being forced, and then they're like, well, it seems that you wanted to do this, so we're going to charge you now. It's like the same thing. I have a friend who is probably the most commercially successful artist friend that I have, and they are from another country, and they're on a program where if they went to their country to get an artist visa, which they 100% should be having, but for some fucking reason they don't give it to them, they like literally wouldn't be able to come back to the US. And it's just like, so they don't leave to go ask for this artist visa. And it's like been a struggle for like 10 years. And it's just, it's so gray, the area of how it all works out. And you're just like, ugh, it's just so sad to me.
So, and how is this all affecting you? Like, in your privileged world, do you also have the feeling that you're getting treated not so good, because you're kind of like, I always imagine if the client says, oh, I'm doing something illegal by seeing you, then I can also whatever, smash your face, or I don't know, like be violent, because I already committed a crime by paying for sex. So now I can commit one more crime and be violent or something.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I definitely can get inside my head about those things, like especially when I'm seeing someone for the first time and it's maybe someone that I'm gonna see in a different city and it's kind of all foreign, and it's just like, you never know if they're giving you, when you screen someone, they're giving you their ID and references and all these things. So sometimes I'm like, oh my God, like, did they give me a fake ID and they're like going to come after me and they're going to like hurt me? That it definitely crosses my mind. Probably not as much as it should, but I've been pretty lucky to never have been in a situation like that. And that's, I think that goes back to the delusional thing where it's like a lot of these men probably aren't even thinking about that in their mind, that it's like, oh, I'm paying a prostitute. I mean, I'm sure they think about it like that, but mm-hmm. not actively to a point like, oh, I'm committing a crime by yes. being in like a five-star hotel with like a beautiful woman who's an entrepreneur and successful and an artist. Like, I don't think yes. they're actively thinking yes. about it like that. You know what I mean? Like, I think yes. they're just thinking mm-hmm. like, this is my girlfriend and I'm helping her pay her rent.
Mm-hmm. Yes, totally. I also honestly think that this argument is like a little bit, like, I think it's this, it comes from this place where also sometimes people who are against sex work think that every person is like, if there wouldn't be laws, they would all punch you in the face, or I don't know what you said right
human
now.
Humans are wolves or yeah, something.
And I think the yeah. reason that people don't punch me in the face every day is not that there are laws against it. It's just that people, like usually normal people, don't really like punching other people in the face. It's just like, I think, Luisa, the reason that you never like punch me in the face is not because it's forbidden. It's just because it wouldn't cross your mind to
why
do it.
Do and you I think that?
Like, I mean, maybe. But I think like never, most people are just like, we like to have people that are around us being happy, and like no one would be like, oh, I'm just like punching you in the face right now. Like, yeah, yes. I think that's, I mean, it's not the laws, I think, that prevent people from doing it. Most people are just like, in general, nice people.
So yeah. Totally. So what I think it's funny is that you say that you are getting the ID of people. So if someone wants to book you, they have to send the ID to your address or something, like to your mail. I would never like get an ID from a German client. I can assure you, never in my life I saw a German ID. So this is also a very American thing, to screen and to do this ID thing. Like, how did you, like, I would be so happy if we would also do it here in Germany and it would be like a common thing to send IDs, but we don't. And I could not ever like say I want this because no one will give it to me. So
they'd be like, no.
I mean, we also get the bank transfers and there I have the full name of the person. So I don't think people wouldn't do it. It's just like no one asks for it in Germany. I think if you would ask, they would do it. But
it's strange, but it's like common thing in the US, right?
Yeah, I mean, especially if it's like a rando that came to your website that, you know, it's not someone that I've been referenced from other providers. Like, if I'm like, who the fuck are you? They need to provide, whether it's like a LinkedIn and a professional account with like their photograph that and matches their name, and usually like a driver's license, and on top of that 2 to 3 references of providers that they've seen in like the past 6 months. Yeah.
But what do you do if you want to visit some for the first time, like if you want to visit a sex worker for the first time? Then how do you show, because it's always this thing of like, you have to show that you already saw other sex workers, but then how do I show, like, how do I ever start?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's more just then it's like, I need more information on you instead of just a professional, like, I need your ID. There's just like, I would be like a little harsher about matching up like who the person is and seeing if they're like a little bit face forward. And also, I feel like if it seems sketchy, I like really trust my intuition on just being like, I'm like, you can't give me what I'm asking for, then I'm not going to see you. And so that is also just being in a certain like bracket of pricing. It's like, you know, you have to be here to be able to spend this kind of money to have access. Or even recently, I've just been like, for new people that I don't know, I do a 2-hour minimum just because I'm like, that's my brand, is conversation and really getting to know someone. So it's important to me that you want to spend that time and you can afford it. And it just also gives maybe it's false buffer, but it gives me this sort of a little bit more safety into just being like, okay, I don't just see anyone that's gonna come in, you know what I mean? Like if it's it feels more intentional and gives me that buffer of safety in my mind.
Totally. Like also you don't have really agencies in the US, right? Because I also found out that it's also illegal to promote a prostitute. You don't say prostitute, right? Like you say sex worker, but in the law it says you cannot promote for a sex worker.
Yeah, I saw that too. And I think Nevada is the only, like Vegas, Nevada kind of state is the only state that it's, I don't even know if they call it legal, but it's like regulated and they do it through brothels. So, but I mean, who knows like what that even means at this point. It's like if one state out of 50 plus two outliers, it's like, what does that really mean? Like, are you really free from that? No, probably not. But I know that there are agencies and I've seen a client once that his references came from, it was like a fetish dom sort of house. I don't know. I forget what they call, what do you call that? Dungeon?
Dungeon. Ah, yes. That could
be. Or something like that. Mm-hmm. But again, it's like the lines are so blurry. Like you could say the way you like word things and even the way you like write things on your website, it's like these little disclaimers and little moments of like, well, I'm not offering that. So I'm not promoting sex. Like, you know, it's just like, it's so funny.
There's nothing on your website says that, oh, you can pay for sex. There's just something like,
I think it says
hey,
like dinner and dessert or something.
Yeah. It's like, I'm your dessert. Time. Like you're paying for my time.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of people, I do see this a lot on a lot of girls' websites. It's like, you're paying for my time, like anything that happens between two consenting adults or something. You know, there's like these phrases that kind of.
Okay.
But so you never met anyone who had like any legal problems because of sex work? Like, is it some like one of those things that where like it's illegal, but you know that no one really cares anymore, or you're not actually going to be like
punished?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how, again, I feel in the scope of how I'm operating in it. And also, like, at this point, I really don't actively advertise and see a lot of new people. Like, I'm very low key about how I do this and put everything into my businesses and my art. So I'm very much like, it's riding on kind of what I built over the past 2 years. And I haven't even taken new photographs since last March. It's been almost a year. Like I don't really update anything. I used to have a Twitter, like that's obviously how we met, but I was like, I can't manage like three personas on the internet right now. So I was like, I just need to shut it down. But yeah, I feel I've never been like genuinely afraid of something happening, because I do just feel like it really is so big, like it's happening and people know about it. And the more I talk to people in New York especially, and like, oh, my friend and this girl that I know, and it's just like even the more I go on Trist or something, I'm like, I've seen that girl on this dating website, I've seen that she's an influencer, I've seen that girl like is in my friend group, like, oh hey, you know what I mean? Like I just can tell, I'm like, oh shit, like it's so much more prevalent. And you know, we live in fucking New York City, it's expensive as shit, like why would I not be getting paid for this?
I think those things are so like bad though, if you have laws that, you know, everybody does it but it's not really punished anymore, but then it makes like this whole social profiling thing so fucked up, like in Berlin where like everybody has marijuana, right? Like everybody. And then whatever, if the police actually I don't
what?
but my boyfriend does, I think. Anyways, everybody has it, right? And
wait, what is that?
Marijuana.
Oh, marijuana.
Yes, marijuana. Okay. Oh, marijuana. Sorry.
Getting high.
say? Do you say pot also in English? Do you say pot?
I say like weed.
Weed, yes, weed. Of course, weed. Oh my God, so impressive. Anyways, everybody has weed. And technically,
I think it sounds like a nerd if you say marijuana. Yeah, right.
Well, I just was like, what is this new what thing is everybody has?
Okay, so everybody has it, and it's technically illegal, but no one is like you're not being checked for it. But then, if like the police goes and only checks the black guys, and they have marijuana, then they have weed, then you only punish those, even though everybody has it. And I wonder if it's like similar with sex work, that like if you're white and you don't have any other things, then you can just do it, no one cares. But it's so easy to like, if I want to punish you because you're black or whatever, then it's so easy
because
to do
I
it
don't because, like you
yes then yeah.
I can
just
find out and, anything and then
yeah,
I can
and, yeah and then I can decide, oh okay, now you I will like you I will punish for this, like,
and that's I think the fucking problem. It's like, it's so, because then when that happens, like, that's such a good example, because it's like, you think about when every literal headline that you see about drugs and weed, especially before it started to become a little bit more, you know, they're decriminalizing it or whatever with the marijuana, it's like every headline would be like drug bust, like they're carrying weed and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you're literally only hearing the stories of it that's painting a picture to people that it's like, oh, it's in the projects, it's in the slums, it's like the drug lord, like, you know. But then every single like billionaire in California is like, you want
smoking.
Some pot? Like, it's like, you know, so I feel like it's the same thing with sex work, where it, the picture that's being painted about it is dangerous and disgusting and dirty, and these prostitutes are walking the street, and it's like, yeah, that's the reality, and it's probably more of the reality because you're making it a crime and you're stigmatizing people that are just doing a job, and you're not making it safe for them. So yeah, and then you have it on the opposite end of the spectrum, which is like girls getting paid obscene amounts of money to go to like fucking Dubai for the weekend and fly back and never have to work for like six more months. You know what I mean? So that is where I feel like out of touch from understanding that. And again, I'm just like so in my own little bubble about it. And I don't even want to begin to like talk about the feelings of what that might be like. But yeah, it's so sad. It's like, I don't know. And making it illegal makes that such a much bigger problem, I think.
Werbung.
Falls ihr den Valentinstag so ein bisschen verschlafen habt, erinnern wir euch auch nochmal an Oh My Fantasy. Oh My Fantasy kennt ihr schon, weil ich ziemlich begeistert von deren Konzept bin. Und zwar kann man da diese tollen Dateboxen erwerben, über die ich hier schon mal geredet habe. Also die haben wirklich auch super viele andere Sachen. Die haben super viele Dessous, also wirklich bis zum Umfallen kann man sich da was aussuchen. Total schöne Sexual Wellness Produkte. Ich habe mir jetzt zum Beispiel gerade solche Massagekerzen bestellt, die man dann anzündet und dann kann man die als Massageöl benutzen, was dann aber schön warm ist. Und ja, genau, also wirklich so alles haben die. Und ich finde aber schon immer noch das Highlight und vor allem jetzt für Valentinstag sind eben diese Dateboxen, wo ihr ja eine Box habt und da drin sind dann, ja, ist dann vielleicht irgendwie, also meistens haben die so ein bestimmtes Thema, zum Beispiel irgendwie Sensual Massage Datebox oder sowas oder vielleicht auch eine Domina-Datebox. Ich glaube, das war eine, die ich mal vor einem Jahr oder sowas bekommen habe. Und da drin ist dann eben alles, was ihr braucht und eine Anleitung, wie man das vielleicht macht, wie man dieses Date umsetzen könnte. Und ich finde es einfach total genial für sowas wie Valentinstag, dass man eben nicht einfach nur irgendwas verschenkt, sondern eher so die Idee von, ich verschenke eine Erfahrung oder sowas oder eben ein Date. Und in dieser Box ist eben alles drin, was ihr dafür braucht. Ja, also ich bin großer Fan davon. Und natürlich haben wir wieder einen Code für euch. Und zwar Geliebte14. Mit dem bekommt ihr, ihr habt es erraten, 14% Rabatt auf alles. Also mit dem Code Geliebte14 alles groß und zusammengeschrieben, bekommt ihr 14% Rabatt auf das gesamte Sortiment ab sofort bis zum 22.03. Und alles, was ihr braucht, natürlich der Code nochmal und Oh My Fantasy und auch die spezielle Valentinstag-Geschenke-Seite von Oh My Fantasy ist natürlich in den Shownotes unten verlinkt. Also viel Spaß beim Stöbern und dann bei hoffentlich strahlenden Augen, wenn das Geschenk ausgepackt wird.
Werbung Ende. What I also sometimes see in Hollywood movies is the scene that someone is sitting at a bar in a very fancy hotel, and then this girl, this very good-looking woman, is a prostitute. Ta-da! Mm-hmm. Like, is it sometimes that you're sitting in a bar, like, recruiting clients? Or is this God. Just something
this
like...
This is a funny story. I have a story about that.
Yes, I've never, tell me.
Okay. I was thinking about this the other day. I was like,
should I tell them? Tell us everything.
Let me leak the secrets. No, okay. First of all, to the point of like Hollywood, it's been so funny since I've gotten into sex work to just the amount of times that you sit, I'm like sitting with friends or I'm like, you know, on a date or something, and I'm like watching a movie with someone and it's like some slapstick comedy and they're like, your mom's a prostitute. Like, they just like the jokes around sex work and specifically the word like prostitute is so, it's like the same thing as like fucking herpes or something. People are like, ha ha, like,
ha ha, you said prostitute.
Oh, Hure, Polizei.
So you have to do our new jingle. You have to say, oh, Hure, Polizei.
Oh, Lord. See, you're embarrassed by your English. I can't even say one thing in German. So wait, say it again. Let me watch your lips.
Oh, Hure.
Hure.
Polizei.
Polizei.
Yes.
God, you just damn said, it. Oh, whore. Police.
Catch the police. Oh, there's a whore. Police. Oh, my God.
Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt, but it really fit. Because whore is like, Hure is the word whore. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And I just feel like, you know, it's so funny. Even friends that I... it's just funny to hear it slip out of people sometimes where you're like, oh shit, like this is really just like an unconscious stigma that is sold to people. And it's funny to think about it as, especially in the US where it's a country that it's a crime, that the respect for it is so much lower, you know? Mm-hmm. But the crazy story about like being, did you guys ever watch the movie Pretty Woman?
Of Julie course.
Roberts. Oh my God.
Yeah. It's like massive love it. Classic. We don't like it.
I like it.
No, I mean, you come don't on. Like it.
Wait, why don't we like it?
We don't like
it's
it.
Bad.
Yeah, because she, in the end, she got saved by a man.
Yeah, true.
From the evil, evil and dirty prostitution.
Come on, Lisa, like it's romance. Thing. Okay. Let there be some romance in the world. I mean, of course.
It's dangerous,
Lenia. But it's love.
It's dangerous.
Okay, yeah, I see both sides, but I do agree. I feel like it's funny. This is the first year. I'm going to go on a little tangent before I tell you my story, but this is the first, on that Pretty Woman, like, save me energy. Mm-hmm. It's like, literally, I feel like when, especially when I first started, the reason why I told you guys, like, the reason why I signed up for a seeking arrangement originally was like, my
save
fantasy.
Me.
Yeah, literally. I was like, someone's going to come in and pay my fucking rent and take me around the world. Mm-hmm. And like, and I'm like, now, I mean, I think I still had that context in my mind, like maybe even like 2-6 months ago. And I feel like it's in the past 6 months, I've just been like, this is a fucking means to an end to get me to where I need to be for my own shit. And if I think about the last 8 years, I'm like, who has gotten me around the world? Me. Who has paid my rent? Me. Like, and I know that's why it's never worked out. I've never like had such a fucking like overflow situation where I'm just like rolling in the cash from like one or two people. And it's just been like a lesson for me is that I always need to figure out my own way to go about building my businesses and like my career in the arts. And there's never going to be someone to come in and be like, let me just take care of all the shit. Cause that's not my message for myself personally. And it's been, at first I was always like, God, like, when is it going to happen? When am I going to get that one client that like
The prince.
All my worries will go away. Or like even in romance, like being sold, you think back to growing up in the Midwest in the US, it's like my story in my head about romance and like fantasy of, oh, when I have like a husband and I fall in love and all this shit will be figured out. It's like, I just don't necessarily, obviously I'm a huge romantic, but I don't necessarily believe that. It's like, that's what
it's like Disney kind of brainwash, right? Cinderella and stuff. It's like
exactly
we grew up with it as women, especially to wait for a strong man to take care. And it's very hard to let loose and just to realize that this is not true. And it's also dangerous to be depending on someone because it might be that there is a very rich prince who is also very nice and really does everything for you. Yes. But as soon as this person loses interest in you, it's like a snap. And then,
or even worse, if you lose interest in that person, but then you're not like, you don't want to break up because you're like, oh, I'm depending on this person.
Yeah. Right. So this is just not a good situation. And then that's why I always don't like sugar dating or would not do it by myself for myself or something. Yeah, but I didn't want to interrupt your story about like all the things if you are working at the bar in a very nice hotel.
I feel like I was, again, I was always a bartender. So there was always that sort of delusion in my job where it's like part of the job is also kind of like flirting and giving, you're giving good service, but you're also like, you're the only person in the world. Let me serve you. Like, here's your cocktail. You know what I mean? Like,
Where's my cocktail?
Give me my martini. But it's like, you think that's how you get people to come back to the bar. Like, that's how you're like, you get your regulars and you like that sort of emotional labor is part of the job. Just, and that's why I think fucking bartending and serving is crazy. And I am so grateful that I don't do that, and it's just like so hard on the body physically, and you're working like long hours, especially if you're bartending to like 5 and 6 in the morning. You're closing down a bar, and then on top of that you're dealing with people coming in and being like, my girlfriend broke up with me and blah blah blah, my mom's calling. It's like you take on so much, and it's so similar to doing sex work because it's like half of these encounters and our dates and these times, it's like you're taking on a lot of what people can't necessarily project into their reality. And we're almost like taking on all of that labor from them. So my story, because I keep going, I keep thinking of positive things to say about all these topics we're talking about.
Because we love escorting. Time,
yeah,
we need to say we that.
We love escorting.
I think you can totally say that it's good that there are people who do this kind of work, because of course I have to like get rid of all my shit sometimes. So I go to like psychiatrist.
Yes.
Or to an escort or whatever.
Exactly.
But like the thing is then also I want to get money for it. Like
It's
work. Yeah, and it's that's important why I'm like, that this work
it's
exists.
It's important. Yeah. Exactly. And it's like that's what I think, going back to the whole making it illegal. It's like there is a proper role in society for what this work entails. Not that I even have to fucking say that out loud, but it's like, obviously there are people that literally don't believe that because they're making it a crime. Mm-hmm. And obviously it just goes back to people being so uncomfortable. We live in still, everyone thinks we're so like free in our society, but we're all, especially the Western world is like so puritanical, and like the Victorian age is still among us when we're like having these thoughts. It's like really going to require almost like a paradigm shift around this thinking. And, you know, you think back to like Greek cultures where the wealthy politician men had like little boy people. You know, there's just different ways that culture has engaged with this sort of sexual, emotional, energetic exchange. Mm-hmm. And I just think everyone would be so much happier if they like had that opportunity. Like we're so stifled when we're like, I'm with my wife for 40 years and I'll never stray an eye. It's like, that's the beauty that I think I've learned from this job the most is like how much a different interaction with a different person can activate you and change and open something up about a person that another person might not have activated it within you. So it's kind of like all that romance, fantasy, knight in shining armor, like one person is for me type of fantasy that I was grown up on. I feel like it's allowed me to be open to being like, oh my God, there's so much available. And why would you not want someone to be so expansive and have all these experiences and adventure and like, you know.
I'm confused though. How did we get from Pretty Woman to like picking up clients in a bar and everything? Like, or let's get back to this.
Because I'm just avoiding that story for no good reason. So here's the story.
I met a girl.
It's probably going to be like not so good now that I haven't said it for so long. This was when I was, my first pseudo name was actually Fiona. And I was on Twitter. It was like when I first got on Tryst. It was my first, I was like putting out a website. I was doing escorting like full on. And I met a girl from Paris on Twitter who was visiting New York. And which I'm like, she was super dope, super cool, super hot. She was a poet in Paris and was visiting for like a week. And she was messaging me and she was like, oh, do you want to go freestyling one night? And I'm just like,
ah, yeah, it's called freestyling, right?
I was like, yeah, like in my mind it
what
was
is
like
freestyling,
but I literally thought
like
it was
in
like
the bar
karaoke
and picking up the client.
So that's so embarrassing. I literally was like, this is how ignorant I was at the time about all this stuff. I was just like, oh my God, she like wants to, I'm like, I don't really know what that means, but like it sounds fun, we could like go out and freestyle. Like I literally thought she was like, let's go karaoke. And yeah, I don't even know.
Isn't that
like,
the
where
song
that's
like
that
freestyle?
Yeah, and you, yeah, exactly.
You thought it's
something
like
that.
The song.
Yeah. I was like, that sounds so fun. Like, girlfriends, yay.
That sounds so fun. But I think this is also so typical American that you always say, oh, this is so amazing. And that sounds so fun. And everything's so positive.
Yeah, girl,
and I love
let's
you.
Do it.
And like in Germany, we are more like,
what the
down
fuck is
to
freestyling?
Earth, like, what the fuck is freestyling? I don't know if I'm in the mood for that. Let's see. I don't
Oh my God. I'm so working on that type of energy in my life. I'm like, I need to stop lying. I need to stop lying when I don't know what it is and just be like, I don't know you. What's freestyling?
I think it's just a US culture or something to
I'm
be like
wow.
That.
Yeah. No, it definitely
great.
Is. Yeah. It sounds so fun. Anyway, so in traditional US spirit, I took it up and I was like, okay, great. And I think I either looked it up or something, and then I kind of figured out what I was like, oh, we're not gonna go karaoke, we're gonna go karaoke on all these guys at the bar. Okay, so I met up with this girl, and it was the one and only time I've ever done this because I'm just like not that type of personality. She was so incredible at it. She was telling me this whole story about her. Her mom was a prostitute. Her mom, I think it was in New York back in like the 70s, and how it was like, you know, just thinking about that. And like, there's
crazy.
No internet. There's no, you know, Times Square was literally like prostitutes were around in the neighborhood. Like that just blows my mind. So like the access as sex workers to this day with the internet and just that sort of safety around being like not having as much access to just being like, oh, I have to go find someone and like sell them on my services, like in a coy way. But we went out to a bar and we were just kind of like walking around and it was freezing. I was like, this is not it, first of all. And she had such a personality for it. She was just like, let's go, let's walk in here. We would like walk by this place and there's like, I don't know what you guys call them, but like we call them suits.
Like this man standing outside of the clubs and don't let them in?
That's like a bouncer. I mean, like someone that would be your client is like a finance guy, like some guy in his like work. It's like a suits. Yeah, exactly. So we saw all these guys, you know, they're like little button up. It's like they're done with work. All these guys are having like a drink. And we like walked in and we're just like,
oh, hello.
Obviously not me, but she was like, oh my God, do you guys know where to dance around? Like she was just like sussing out if like people were available for like having a good time type of thing. And they were like, oh, this is a club downstairs, but it's actually, it was like a Monday night, first of all. So I was like, this is going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. And then finally they were like, no, but, and all the guys were kind of looking at us as we were like asking the workers, and they were like, oh, do you want to like, they're like, we'll buy you a drink, like come have a drink. And we were like, should we, she was like, should we have a drink, Fiona? And I'm like, I guess we're having a drink. Okay, we're sitting down. And then she was like the entire time, like talk, there was maybe like four or five guys. And she was like, basically we have to suss out like A, who's available for this, and B, like who has the money. Like, yeah, people want to like chat and flirt, but like there's an expiration date on like figuring out like, okay, this person is not it. We got to move on. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like quickly learning. I'm like, whoa, like this is a whole fucking science. Mm-hmm. And I think she like, she's like, I'm gonna go outside with this guy and while he smokes a cigarette and try to figure this out. Like she was trying to like literally
she
figure
this out.
She
knew how to do it. Like she did it before.
Oh, so I think she'd definitely done it like multiple times. And she, that's why she was just like, it'll be fun, let's go freestyle. I'm like, oh my God, I have no idea. But she eventually was like, okay, that guy, he's going to bed. Like he's married, he's going to bed. He's definitely not doing that. Like she was just like, quintessentially like profiling all these guys. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of had like one or two down to the wire, and then we were like, okay, we gotta like move. And one guy was like, I'll take you girls to the bar across the street from my hotel. And she was just like, literally I can't get this image out of my head. Like he was like sitting at the bar with her and he was holding his drink, and she just like grabs his drink from his hand and like takes the straw and is like, like staring at him. She's like, don't you think we should get out of here? And I'm just like, oh my God. She was making
it
him
good at what this. It costs to just
No. At this point.
Yeah. But how do you do it at some point?
This is why I was like in awe. So she hadn't said anything. And she like kind of sussed out that he had money. And he was like, oh, let's get a bottle and like take it to the hotel across the street. So we like closed out. We went upstairs. And then we were kind of like, you know, it's like, you're flirting, you're kissing, it's foreplay. And then she was like kind of pulled back, and I was just like, oh God, it's about to happen, he's about to find out. And it was literally like, and you know, at this point, like obviously everyone's like having a good time, we're like a little buzz, and she was just like, so why do you think there's two beautiful women like hanging out at a bar on a Monday night?
It's just because, like, I'm hot.
I literally was like, oh my God, this is going to play out so interesting. And she just was like, I mean, like, what do you think that's about? And she was just like, so fucking classic. And I was like, oh God, oh God, oh God. And he was like, wait, what do you mean? Like, he was like, oh, and she was like,
yes.
Yes.
And honestly, he took it like very well, because we were like already teasing him so much, and like mm-hmm. in our fucking underwear, like it was already like, it's not, you get him to that like right before the line of like giving them anything to be like mm-hmm. so. And she's like, well, there's an ATM downstairs, I'll go with you. And but so he, this was probably like
crowd the ATM.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, this is what she told me after. She was like, I saw there was an ATM. It was perfect hotel choice on his part. I was like, oh, uh-huh. Yeah. Cause then he was like, oh, I don't have any cash. And she's like, oh, well, there's an ATM downstairs. And I was like, damn, girl, you're good. And you know, it was like the longest 5 minutes of my life. Just, I stayed in the hotel room and I was like chugging wine, and they were like down at the ATM. And
he was just alone with you two, right?
Yeah.
And how much did he pay for
that? I think that night it was like we each got 800.
So that's pretty little, because you're charging much more, right? And usually.
Yeah. But I mean, for what it was, it's also just like, that makes you recognize like, and we weren't even there that long, but it's like, that makes you recognize like how much work that is to then like go suss it out. Like you're spending, we spent probably like 4 or 5 hours like for that whole situation to like pan out, you know? So for me, I was like, at the time I was like, this is just an adventure and I'm loving this. It's a fucking chapter in the memoir.
I would definitely do it.
Yeah.
Sometime when I come to New York, we should do it.
Oh my God. That would be so fun. You know what I really want to do it at? I really want to like get so dressed up and go to like the Plaza Hotel or something. So that's like,
and then we sit at the bar and then someone comes to us. and say,
No, you have to go to them, Lisa.
I think you have to be a little more. So this is why I'm not good at this, is because I'm not that type of, I'm trying to get better at being like in a persona so that I don't take it so emotional. But it's like, I'm so just like, I like for someone to kind of come to me. So it's why I tried like stripping once or twice, and it's why I was never good at stripping, because I was, everyone's like a fucking savage. Like they're like going and like pouncing on these men, and I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I'll wait at the bar until someone wants me to give them a dance for $20. Like I just was so bad at it, because I'm like, my personality is not like that very much.
I think I think it's insane like what strippers like in Germany, because in Germany freestyling doesn't really exist, I think, but of course stripping does.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm in strip clubs, I'm like, those women, they have amazing skills. Like, it's insane what skills they have, and like selling stuff. Like,
I know.
And it's so like, crazy.
I'm so in awe of them.
Yes. Like, and they have like so many skills.
And I'm just like, you're so hot. You're so cool.
Like, of
and
course, dancing. But I think like even more in like selling stuff, like how they talk to you. I don't know. I think it's just insane. Like, it would be actually like such a good skill on like the thing that you give in when you want to have a job.
Oh, like a resume.
Yeah, resume. Exactly, the resume. Like whenever I would read that in a resume, I would be like, yes, you're the perfect person. You can sell
you
anything.
Are here to
like,
work.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. That's what's so funny, like especially doing this work and thinking about, that's funny you say like on the resume. It's like, God, if I could just have all of the things on my resume that I actively have experienced in my life, like through the service industry and bartending and sex work and being a photographer and being a painter. It's like, I've never actually had a job that's going to ever look good on any resume, but I have so much to like bring to the table. So yeah, that's funny, because you're like, if you're able to like put that on there, and someone would be like, holy shit, this girl knows what she knows how to do this shit. Okay, let's go.
Do you have more stories kind of like this story? Because I wonder, do you have like stories that demonstrate the difference between the US and Germany? Because I'm always thinking that the US is different kind of like when it comes to escorting. I think in Germany, the people are more like, I don't want to say greedy, but they are kind of like very greedy. They are not really like giving you very crazy amounts of presents or something. Not that I want this, but everyone likes presents. So, but I don't expect that. But I heard that in the US, sometimes people get like such crazy presents and also very generous clients. Is this true?
Yes. I mean, I have had clients that are super, it was almost like that was their formula, and the way they went about it was very much like, oh, I show up, it's like a 3 or 4 hour date. I literally show up to like this sexiest fucking like penthouse suite at a really nice hotel, and there's like little gifts impact. It almost looks like Christmas, you know, you have like three presents on the table next to the like sushi spread that they get you and the fucking fancy ass champagne, and it's all like set out, and they're like, and I've had friends that have seen like the same client, and he like does that every time for the girl. So it's like, here's your present, you know, whether it's a really nice lingerie set, or like one time he gave me like some pants, like jean, like just nice clothes, or like, you know, a fucking whatever. It's always like something to wear. And then like your cash envelope and like dinner and champagne. That's kind of like the extent of the gifts that I've gotten. It's always like lingerie or, you know, something. But I feel like you see all the time on like Twitter, and like the girls that are like up there doing it, and they're like, I just got my Birkin bag from my client. And I'm just like, damn, okay, you're doing it. Or like, you know, Cartier, like there's so much symbolism in the sex working world that's like, you know, you're getting your like Van Cleef bracelet from your client, or like whatever these like high end designer, there's like token gifts that I feel like when you're really fucking up there, And I just like, I don't operate in that world. I've never cracked the code on what that means or what that
looks
like.
So you're not this Twitter pro, because there are some Twitter pros outside there. Yeah, we really don't have so much time anymore. That's why I want to ask you one more thing about art, because we found each other because we are both artists. I am an artist in Hamburg and you're an artist in New York.
Who is cooler?
New York is cooler. But I really like, I was checking out your art because a friend of mine who got to know you was like kind of connecting us. And I was checking out your art and I was like, oh my God, this woman is crazy. I love her art. And then I kind of fell in love and we were talking so long about art and sex work. And I don't know, I was really in the mood for talking about being an artist and being a sex worker in this podcast, because we talked about it for longer times that we have some issues regarding the topic, that sometimes, for example, I don't feel like I am a real artist or something, because I also work as an escort and earn money as an escort. And you kind of felt the same thing. And it was crazy because it's like there's so many kilometers between us, but we have like kind of the same problems. It was so funny. So you also have this kind of thoughts.
I 1000% have those thoughts. I feel like, and honestly, it's so funny that we're having this conversation like in this time period, like right now, even from our conversation before, because I feel like in the past month or so, I've just gained this whole new perspective and confidence of looking at my life and being like, me having those thoughts, like, I guess, first of all, I felt insecure, like when I would talk to people, because, you know, it's like I have this big, beautiful studio and like people on the internet are like, oh, like what, you know, it's like you're just like in your studio and you like are like, what do you do for work? You know, even when people would ask me like, what do you do for work? I'm like, I'm a full-time artist. And for a while, like the past year, it's made me really insecure because I'm like, am I lying? Like, is that not, am I really a full-time artist if I'm doing other things to supplement? Like, I'm not really selling that much work. Like, but, you know, so there was like, and even like, especially in dating, in like showing up to a table where I'm not telling people about the escorting, like it was always this kind of personal conundrum in my mind. And I started to become really insecure about being like, oh my God, I'm like lying to these people, like whatever. And now I'm just like, it just comes from like, I think all of that comes from a mindset of being like, I can't be all these things and be a successful artist and be an entrepreneur and be a sex worker and have a fucking multi-million dollar business and have this thing and be a mom and be a lover. And it's like, why do I have to pigeonhole myself to be like, to be a successful anything? It has to be only that thing. You know what I mean? And I think that's what's held me back for so long in being like, going all in with just who I am, which is why I think this podcast is so fun that we're having this conversation and I'm able to be open about that from both sides of my life. Because for literally the past 2 years since I started escorting, it's like I've never been able to sit at a professional art engagement and feel completely like I can be who I actually am and talk about the things that I care about. And I've never been able to like fully disclose my identity when I'm like talking to client. It's like there's always something that kind of is like I can't be completely honest about who I am. And so yeah, I think there's those questions of like, oh shit, like am I really an artist if I'm not like selling my work completely? And now I'm just like, I feel like that's part of my message to people is like, you are. It doesn't have to, like, you don't have to live in a fucking major city. You don't have to have a certain graduates program to give you these like accolades of like success in order to be calling yourself an artist. And like, maybe you don't ever sell anything. And maybe that's it's your own way of going about it. And so that's why I'm just so grateful, because I literally probably would not be able to afford my life here without escorting. Yes. I mean, I'd never, obviously, like, never say never. And, you know, if I couldn't do it, like, I would find any other way to kind of make things happen. But it's like, I'm grateful because it's given me so, I work so little escorting and I make enough money to like have all this time to be in my studio and to constantly be thinking about my art and being able to invest in, I just put everything back into it. You know, it's like, it's my rent, it's my paints, it's my buying this fucking microphone, it's my, yes, all the shit. So I'm like,
and also the sex work is also influencing your art, kind of, right? Like, yeah, for me, it's also very influencing my art that I have such a sensual approach to a lot of things, and that I have, yeah, such a sensual job.
Yeah. And I feel like, don't you even have that on your Instagram, Luisa?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you like wrote about that. You like write about that on your like, I think on your bio on your Instagram. It's like,
I mean, you're open about being a sex worker in your art, right? Like, that's a huge,
no,
I think, like,
no one of us is. Like, neither Fiona nor I am open about our job in the art, yeah, world. Because it's the problem that I feel that we would get judged for that, and, yeah, that we wouldn't get,
oh my God,
taken seriously. Yeah.
Well, I think, yeah, on that note, it's just like, for me, why I just feel like the art world specifically right now in this point of time is so like, you become so pigeonholed by your identity and your identifiers. And it's sort of like, you know, you look at anything that's like thriving in the art world, it's like this queer black art. It's like so,
yeah,
much of
sex,
your identity.
Work artist, then you're, yeah,
female sex worker, like talking about human sexuality. It's like you just become instantly a token for like how people can digest what it is you're talking,
yeah,
about. Just like, I'm just like, I don't, yeah, want that to be the driving force of what my art is about. And not,
yes,
that it's not there, and not that I disrespect it, and not that I'm embarrassed about it. I mean, so many of my people in my life know about what I do, but I just am still trying to figure out a way to navigate, like, how do you have those conversations? And it's funny because when I was in grad school, I wrote about people in New Orleans going in with cameras to the fucking red light district and like becoming friends with the prostitutes. And when the camera was first coming out and they're like taking photographs, and my whole thesis paper was about the female nude and the translation of it from art historical representations when there was no photography, and it was just like, it's Venus, it's a goddess, it's high art. You know, it's like, who's collecting all that art? It's rich, wealthy men who are putting it in their private collections. Like, of course it's erotic. Like, look at all these old paintings of like soft, sensual flesh, female being disguised as mythology and whatever. And then as soon as you get these cameras that are showing kind of, it's like, it's smut, it's pornography, it's not serious, it's not taken seriously. And so that's an interesting thing that I'm constantly thinking about, and why I paint so much myself and the female nude. And I look at our history and I'm just like, where's like the line? You know, I just went to the Met like a few weeks ago, and there was a Manet Degas show. Mm-hmm. And it's just so fascinating to me that the most popular painting in that whole show that everyone's crowding around, kind of like the Mona Lisa energy, it was Olympia, and it's literally an image of a female nude, and she has the little black bow tie around her neck, and it's a prostitute. And it's just funny to me that like we have these connotations in our society about sexuality, and like, you know, it's illegal, but we're going to like look at that as this high, a male artist that was super privileged made this image. And it's like, now it's just like, oh, right, that's serious shit.
Yeah. So, oh my God.
That's,
it's such a deep topic.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm, it's
like,
such,
that's a
fascinating
hour.
Thing. Yeah, I think this can like we could talk for hours about that topic, and I'm so happy that we might see each other, perhaps, mm-hmm, because Fiona might come to Germany maybe in June. We,
yeah,
are talking about like doing an artist collaboration thing and work together as artists, and also then Fiona will be escorting in Germany.
Yeah,
so
crazy.
We want to do a lot of things together, and
we want to do a lot of things together.
A lot of things. Like your French friend would say it better. Like a lot of things.
Oh God, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, no, this has been so amazing. I really appreciate what you guys do. And it makes me sad that I don't understand German to digest more of this podcast. But someday, someday.
Perhaps there will be an AI that can translate it soon for you. Yes. We don't know.
I'm sure that's a thing.
Yes, it was so nice that you talked so openly about everything. I know that it's not easy because, like, we all know it's stigmatized and it's illegal. So nice that you talked to us. And I will be so happy when we see each other in Hamburg.
Yes,
it's coming. Yes.
Thank you so much, all the people who accepted our sometimes strange English. Sorry for that. Next Friday, we will talk German again. So see you next Friday. And for everyone who wants to spread some love, you can hit on the 5 stars button and you can share this episode with other people. And yeah.
Yeah.
Is this everything?
Thank you so much, Fiona.
Thank you so much.
And
thank you very much. See ya.
Bye.
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 Geliebte auf Zeit.